Welcome to the Work is Weird Now podcast. Whether you're nearing retirement, entering the workforce for the first time, or caught somewhere in the confusing muddle in the middle, you're likely sensing it and you're probably living it. We know we are, and we want to know why. Listen in as we interview experts and everyday people like you to find out how best to navigate the ever-growing weirdness of work in the modern age.
Welcome to Work is Weird Now podcast. Today's guest is Claudia Cardinale. Claudia is head of strategy at personal branding agency Great Influence. Great Influence has helped build some of the UK's biggest CEOs and founders into industry leading influential figures on social media, including Gary Neville, Alan Barrett, and Oliver Cookson, to name a few. Claudia has also gathered her own following on LinkedIn, frequently appearing on lots of podcasts, speaking on topics about the quarter life crisis and personal branding itself. And so I'm going to be really, really honest here. I found you on LinkedIn from one of your posts that had gone viral. And it was the post that basically outlined how you've built a career completely from LinkedIn that started in 2020, so the beginning of a global pandemic. Can you just talk our listeners through that whole process to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. It sounds weird to think that, like, even when I was writing that post, I was like, oh my God, this is actually true. Like, my whole career has actually come pretty much from this one platform in some way or another. So my role before this, I was working kind of in student marketing. And we needed a way to essentially speak to students during the pandemic. And for me at that time, like, I don't know, Instagram felt a bit icky. I wasn't confident enough really to speak on video. So I was like, where can I be a bit of a keyboard warrior, essentially? And that place was LinkedIn. So I started really talking about my experience leaving university, how I was literally having a course life crisis, how I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And it kind of took off, weirdly. I think it was like the golden era of LinkedIn. This was like 5-6 years ago now, where there wasn't the kind of mass adoption that we see today. It wasn't so built into companies to kind of encourage their employees to speak on the platform. It was very much like there was one or two people doing it, but it definitely wasn't done at scale and definitely wasn't as like socially accepted, I guess, to have a LinkedIn voice. But it's where I just kind of ended up. And after doing it for about 4 or 5 months, yeah, I was starting to have some really nice conversations, like a lot of people saying that what I was talking about was really helping them, or they had experienced the same thing. So it was just a really lovely way for me to communicate with people and have really nice conversations at that time. So it wasn't really that there wasn't really an agenda. It was just kind of see what I can do to help, essentially, at the beginning. So I was doing that for about 4 or 5 months. And then I got a LinkedIn DM from a strange man on the internet to say, I've been really enjoying your posts. Have you ever thought about doing this for anyone else or creating LinkedIn content for people? And I, at that time, like, I didn't even really know that existed as a thing. I hadn't been on the platform or using the platform for very long. And it just like sparked a bit of an idea in my head, because I've always loved working with founders and entrepreneurs and people that were doing things a little bit differently. Like, at that time, I had a lot to say about what I was experiencing. And I thought, oh, it's actually quite cool that you could maybe work with someone really closely, figure out what they're thinking, and then translate that into content. And the work that I was doing previously was coming to a bit of a natural end. So I thought, yeah, it makes sense to give this a go and have a look and see what it actually is and what it actually involves. So I started essentially as a freelance copywriter. So a huge part of my role was creating LinkedIn content for founders and entrepreneurs, which is the business that I do now, which I'm sure we'll get into. And it was just like, yeah, it was a bit of an interesting time to be on LinkedIn as a platform, because, like I said, it was kind of like this golden era where you'd post something about Gymshark or David Attenborough, or you'd just kind of take something that's happening on Twitter and bring it over to LinkedIn, and it would just explode. And the opportunity to go viral was so much bigger then, because there were a lot less people using the platform, and we were seeing huge successes really quickly for people that had only been posting for 1 or 2 months. So it was a really interesting time, but I also think a really good time to almost like hone that craft. And I was still doing content for myself as much as I was doing it for other people. So that was kind of end of the year 2020.
Can we just clarify who the strange man was?
before there's any alarm bells ringing around and people are like, is anyone going to help her? Like, who was the strange man who slid into
no
DMs?
Help needed. His name is Ash Jones, and he is now my boss, and we've worked together for 5 years, so not that strange anymore. Mm-hmm. He has built an amazing business off the back of essentially building the profiles of entrepreneurs in the UK. It started with Stephen Bartlett. But what the kind of world, I guess, was asking from him was, oh, I've seen what you've done over here with Stephen and the success that he's having. How do we replicate that for our business? So the company that I work for now is called Great Influence. We manage the digital profiles of entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders, and corporate leadership teams. And I say digital profiles rather than personal brand, because there's this perception around personal branding that it's just LinkedIn ghostwriting, which is frustrating. And there's an element of that to it for sure. But for me, it's so much more than that. Like, we work really closely with people to look at where they want to go in their career and where they need to build an audience that's valuable for their business. And then how does that translate into social? But personal branding for me is so much more than just waking up and thinking what I post on LinkedIn today. And I think the industry is going through a bit of a maturity phase at the minute of understanding that a little bit more.
And so you spoke quite a lot about what the potential was of LinkedIn 5 years ago. Is the potential less now? Is the potential different now? What have you seen change over that time? And where is the opportunity currently?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different. I think, again, LinkedIn's gone through almost like a bit of a rebrand, I guess, to be something that was used for a tool that was used to get jobs or reach out to people. It was like heavily recruiter-based. I don't think it had the same creator element that it does now. And I think LinkedIn have really invested in that creator side of it. I've done events with LinkedIn before. They've pushed the kind of content creation and creative element of it a lot more. And I think they're trying to bring big names and new people to the platform in a bit of a different way. And it feels a lot more professional, I think, than other platforms, obviously. And I think the opportunity has definitely shifted. Whereas before it was like you could take something that was happening on, we used Twitter a lot in the early days, of we've seen this big conversation happening on Twitter. No one is talking about that on LinkedIn. How do we bring that here in a way that feels genuine and authentic to the person that we're working with? I'd say the opportunity now is really different. Obviously, especially in the last 6 months, we've seen this absolute tirade of ChatGPT and AI posts. And again, it's a definite pro and a con. I think it's a really, really useful tool as like a sounding board and almost like a bit of a creative partner. And I think for a lot of people, it's much easier to access LinkedIn if they struggle to formulate their thoughts or they're not confident in writing. Like, I think it's really helpful in giving people an ability to start somewhere. The flip side of it is that I think we're seeing a lot of generic and the same content. And again, the opportunity, I think, is actually bigger now, because if you're not doing that generic AI stuff that everyone else is doing and you are taking the time and effort to create and curate something that is a bit different and putting energy and effort into that, I think you stand out a mile off. Like, I spend a weirdly disproportionate amount of time on LinkedIn, and I can tell within 0.3 seconds if someone's post is AI, or the AI comments that I get slews and slews of. If someone takes the time to actually invest their own brain into thinking about how do I communicate with this person and how do I communicate my point, it's okay if they're spelling mistakes. It's okay if it's not the perfect formulated thought. But I actually think that genuineness and realness matters now more than ever, because so many people aren't doing that. And I think as long as you use ChatGPT or AI as almost like a partner rather than in replacement of your brain, I think it can be hugely valuable. And I think the way that I always see it is, so the way we kind of think about personal branding is like, how do you make a name for yourself in your industry? Not just make a name for yourself for fame's sake, but how do you really capture the audience that you need to speak to progress and elevate your career? And I think that ChatGPT can be a really useful tool for that if you know how to use it. So rather than saying, hey, please, can you write this post for me? It's, hey, I've seen this thing happening in my industry over here. I've seen this thing happening over here. is there a way that these two things link? Or can you give me a list of all the conversations that people are happening right now in this space? And then you use your own brain to kind of articulate and develop that idea. So the ideas come from you, but you're using tools to help you get there, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And especially in terms of efficiency and time, like no one has any time to think about this, right? It's always the bottom of the to-do list. So if it's something that speeds up that process and makes it a little bit easier, absolutely use it. But don't use it in replacement of your own brain cells would be my advice.
So a big question today is how do you stand out without selling out, right? And I think there is now a perception of personal brand, the term, because it's so, you know, people are making huge careers out of it themselves. There's almost an ick that comes with it too, and a barrier. And I'm an in-house marketer, so I do lots of presentations around how to use the platform. There's just this constant, you know, swallow the frog term we use, that you've just got to post and you're not going to break the internet. Don't stress too much. But there is this fear of how do you curate your own content and your own opinion without selling out almost? Where do you start on that?
I think the first thing to really think about is why are you actually doing it? Like, why are you choosing to show up? Is it because your boss has put it in your KPIs and you have to? In that case, I actually don't know if you can get around selling out, because if it's not something that you're genuinely invested in doing for yourself, you just kind of have to tick the box. And I think actually knowing that is really helpful and important. If it's KPI and you have to sit in the meeting and say that you've done 4 LinkedIn posts, post what you have to post and get out of there would be my advice. I think if it's something that you want to buy into to further your career, it's a bit of a different conversation. And the very first question that we ask people when we start working with them is, why now? Like, why do you actually want to do this? And the most common answer is because I want my business to be the best that it can possibly be. And that is a completely different conversation to someone that's been backed into a bit of a corner. And again, it's like LinkedIn is a social media platform if you're looking at it from a creator perspective. And it's thinking about what is the audience that you actually want to reach with the message that you have to say. And for a lot of people, it isn't everyone. It's a very, very specific group of decision makers in most cases. And I think that's where people become misaligned, is they think that, oh God, I have to write a LinkedIn post. It needs to get 1,500 likes or 20 likes or 50 likes or whatever it is, the benchmark that you have in your head. And if it doesn't hit that, you're disappointed. And I think that there's a massive reframe that needs to happen of, if this LinkedIn post speaks directly to the person that I know that I've got a meeting with tomorrow and they see it and they mention that post in the meeting, or I know that they'll come out of the meeting and go on my LinkedIn profile and we've had a conversation about this very specific problem that they have, and I've then reinforced that in the content that I'm sharing, and they maybe see it in a different way and they spend an extra 10 seconds thinking about it. That's the kind of mindset that I think you need to be in, is like, who are you actually really needing to speak to? Because it isn't Pete who spends 10 minutes on LinkedIn stalking people to take the piss out of them. So many people are in a position where they are kind of, the business is putting pressure on them to do it without explaining why. Why do we need our entire employees, every single one of our team members to post on LinkedIn? It's because you're trying to get a specific sales target out of it, or there's an employer brand piece that you need to work on. And I think understanding that on all levels is really, really important to the success of it, and also really, really important to the longevity of trying to get your employees to engage in something that is on their own time in a lot of cases, and also typically outside their scope of work. Yeah. So it is a huge challenge, I think, at the minute that we're seeing, that is companies know they need to do LinkedIn, or know that they want their employees to show up, or even from a founder perspective, it's, I know that I should be doing this. Why? Why should you? Because unless you really, really understand that, I think that you zone out much quicker, because you think writing a LinkedIn post quickly falls to the bottom of your to-do list. Whereas if it's that we know that we need to change the perception of leadership within our team, that's a completely different end goal than I want to get 100,000 likes on a post.
Yeah, I think if the goal is to go viral, then the goal is wrong, right? And got to become obsessed with your target audience's problems, right? And talk to that. Whereas from a employer brand perspective, it's been very much about trust, access to the to leadership and seeing the world through their eyes for an authentic way on social media is really, really powerful. And I think back to, you know, some of the founders that we mentioned that your company works with, it's insights into their world of what's actually happening behind the scenes that people are so, you know, magnetized towards. And then the other side is like employee-generated content that's authentic from the ground up. It's not just I'm KPI to do 3 LinkedIn posts. You know, that bit is so fake, right? It's that top-down, bottom-up trust-building approach.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that the conversation around authenticity and fakeness is a really interesting one, because for a lot of people, actually even using LinkedIn in the first place feels a bit disingenuous, because it's not a platform that they would typically engage with. It's not something that they would choose to do if it was just them wanting to show up on socials. And a lot of founders that we work with actually are very kind of reserved in their approach to social media. And in the early conversations, it's always like, I don't want the fame. I don't want the millions of people coming up to me. Like, I just want my business to be the best that it can possibly be. So that in itself creates a bit of an interesting dynamic, because it's like this platform is actually maybe inauthentic to you to use, but you know that you have to use it as a tool. So I think that in itself and understanding that is really important. And again, it's just the buy-in of like, okay, who are you actually trying to speak to? And again, you mentioned founders there, and I think it's really interesting, because actually for a lot of them, their target audience isn't, if it's a consumer brand, it isn't consumers. If it's a marketing agency, it isn't anyone that works in marketing. It's, okay, we're looking to get our business acquired. So how do we speak to investors? Or if an investor goes on our page, what do we need them to see about our business that is going to leave a really good impression? And for a lot of people, it isn't. They're always thinking kind of up, I guess. So if you're someone junior in your career, if you've just come out of university, you're thinking, how do I impress my manager? If you're the manager, you're thinking, how do I impress my director? If you're the founder, you're thinking, how do I impress my investors? Or how do I attract more people that are in senior decision-making positions? And I think it's just this, again, understanding of like, how do you talk to that group of people in a genuine way? A lot of people have it the other way around. I think it may be different if you're trying to create a D2C consumer channel, which is valuable for founders in that space in some cases. But for a lot of people, they're trying to speak to maybe 10 people. And I think that every piece of content that you create should be moving you one step closer to getting in the room with those people. And I think, again, it's how do you translate what's happening in an online world into real life offline situations? And that's the thing that we're always thinking about, is it actually doesn't matter how many people that you've reached on LinkedIn this month if no one has sent you a message in your inbox that's relevant. So it's linking those two up that I think is really important.
I think that's a really good point, because I guess I always wonder, is it for everybody, right? Do you ever say no, actually you don't need to be on LinkedIn? Because, you know, I would imagine there are this, what happened to you on a personal level where you got pursued by somebody who wanted to hire you, I can't imagine happens all the time, right? Even if you have great content out there, you might be good at kind of raising your profile, boosting your visibility, same with companies. But are they actually receiving opportunities directly to them through LinkedIn? That's question one. Question two is, does everybody need to be on it? In other words, I think a lot of times people respond by saying, you know, everyone else I know is on it, or every other company's on it, we need to be on it too. Is it a requirement? Do you have to be on it in order to be in the game? Or actually, are there other routes you can go down in order to get the opportunities that you need?
Yeah, I think if we go with the first part first, so it's really like a game of like attraction. It's personal branding. Like, that's essentially what it is in its essence, is like, how do I do the least amount of work for the most amount of effort? And that's not to say that building a personal brand is absolutely no work. It's really hard and it takes a really long time. But my thinking on it is always like, every time I write a LinkedIn post, it's not necessarily for the opportunity that I'm going to create this week or even this month in a lot of cases. It's for like 5-10 years down the line, when an audience is the single most valuable thing that anyone can have in their career, because it means you have this asset that you carry with you in whatever role that you go to, that you can probably sell someone something, whether it's your time or a product or whatever it is. And I think that most people think about it in the really short term, and they think, oh, well, someone hasn't messaged me today, so I'm going to stop. What's the point in me putting all this energy and time into this thing that isn't working for me right now? And especially around kind of sales conversations, you'd think that salespeople would really invest in their LinkedIn profiles, but they're in the business of immediate sales. They're less in the game of like 10 years time. And I think it's really interesting where you have this like tipping point. And I think you have to be relentless for a few years before you actually start to see the opportunities start to come to you. And for me, like that's always what I'm trying to create is like, I'm not necessarily doing this for now. Like for the opportunities that I was getting in the first year that I was starting to post are very different to the opportunities that I get now 5 years in. But it's because I've been continuous in my commitment to show up over that whole time span that now things that I would have to message 50 people for before, people just land in my inbox. And I think that's what I'm trying to create and what we try and create for other people is like, yes, a lot of the people that we work with see an immediate uptake in their inbound inquiries, but in 10 years time, they're going to be the like inundated with people saying, I saw you speak at this thing. I want you to talk about this thing. I saw your post at this thing. And it's like the ripple effect of the network that you're creating for yourself is so much more valuable than, oh, I posted this week on LinkedIn and 10 people liked it. It's like that consistent presence and reputation that you're building over time.
Mm. So in addition to just plonking something from ChatGPT into LinkedIn and posting it, what are the other biggest mistakes you see? What do you see on LinkedIn? You just cringe and think, God, I wish I could give those people some advice.
I think a lot of people start like a bit of a flash in the pan situation where they're like, okay, right. This is it. Like my personal brand, let's go. We're going to start posting on LinkedIn every day. I'm going to take all the pictures at the events. I'm going to get the content. I'm going to write a post every single day of the week. We've got carousels. We've got videos. And it's short and sweet in most cases. And I think that I love the commitment on one hand. And I think that it's important to be motivated and energized by it. But like I said before, like this is a long game. And I think actually if you show up once a week for a year, that's way more valuable than showing up 10 times in a month and never posting again. And I think that, again, it's like thinking, how do you make this systemized in a way that you can carry on doing over a really long period of time? Because, again, it's just like we always talk about in the office, like sticking it out is the biggest part of the battle. Like in terms of great influence as a business, just us existing for 10 more years is a battle that we're trying to win in itself. So I think that the more that you can think about how do I just sustain this rather than it be something that I do for a week or a month or even a year and then never think about it again, because it's the sustained and continuous element of it that I think allows it to actually compound. And I still get people now, like this podcast that I've done 2-3 years ago, where I'll speak to someone and or they'll message me and be like, oh, I've just listened to this podcast. And I think that like continuation rate of still managing to leave an impression on people 2-3 years down the line is like infinitely valuable for your career. And again, the conversation that I always have around personal branding is like LinkedIn and social media and how do I post this and what do I talk about, whereas the conversation really should be around like what's the network that you're trying to build. Well, how do you want people in your industry to see you? What do you want them to know that you're really, really good at? And again, I think that the immediate kind of advice is like, pick one thing that you want to be known about. That for me has changed maybe 5 times in the last 5 years. And I think that it's okay for that to change. Like I was talking about having a course of life crisis 5 years ago. I'm not in that same mindset now, thank God. So I think that my personal brand has really evolved with my career. I think you have to really think about in terms of perception of the conversations that you go in. I sit in a room with extremely impressive CEOs and founders on a weekly basis. I can't be talking about having a course life crisis on LinkedIn because the weight that I carry in that room is completely different. It's especially important when you're in a big corporate company, because I know that you're walking into the office every day and this director over here might see what you're talking about. I interestingly had a conversation with someone this week where they said that the team has been trying to think about LinkedIn a little bit more, and one of them, it was like a junior person in the team that was going with a partner to this meeting, and I think it was the CEO of the company that they were meeting came into the room and said to the junior guy in the room, oh, I recognize you. I think I've seen, maybe you said this on LinkedIn. And he was like, yeah, that's me. And you hear like horror stories of the partner afterwards being like, what are you saying on LinkedIn? Why are you saying this? But for that guy in the room, like that's an amazing impression for that company to leave on them. And I think that's what you're trying to create, is like the real life impact of why you're showing up online.
There are some things that we all heard, you know, about what the algorithms within LinkedIn favor, right? So video for a long time was the thing, and now video is everywhere and everyone's doing videos. Are there certain things that we should be looking at from a sort of channel perspective, or is the variety important?
If I'm really so real right now, I think the most important thing is like just show up. Because I think people psych themselves out with like, oh, I need to post at 9 a.m. I need to start posting videos. Carousels are really popping right now. Let me make a few of them in Canva. And I think that if that's a barrier to you actually pushing the post button, it really doesn't matter. And I think it's hard because you have big players in the space. Like you have the Stephen Bartlett's and you have the founders of Trip and you have the Salt people that are showing up like consistently and they're producing really good content. And I think that some people get in their own heads around like, okay, let me think about like the algorithm and how I'm going to hack the system and how am I going to finesse the game and all these things. When in reality, if you've not posted for 2 months, like it doesn't matter about the algorithm. It's just like actually getting yourself into a position where you consistently can push the post button. And I'll do it if I sit down to plan my content for the week. I'll think, okay, I've got half an hour now. I could spend half an hour making a carousel, or I could write 4 posts. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I'll write 4 posts because that takes me a bit further. And next week, I might have a bit more time so I can put more energy into it. And I think it's more about like managing how you create that consistent system. I know we've mentioned that before, but I think it's so important of like, you have to create something that is sustainable. And if you're constantly battling, like I think there's a case where maybe if you've got into a rhythm of it, you've been posting consistently, you're hitting the once a week or 3 times a week, whatever it is, the goal you've set for yourself. I think then if you've been doing that for about 4 or 5 months, then you can start to think about, okay, how do I maybe take this up a gear? And then I think it's okay to start having conversations around, let me test if this thing works. And again, like I didn't make the algorithm. I really have absolutely no idea how it works. We test things all the time of whether it's posting times or different hooks or images or carousels versus videos. And it's that constant testing that makes me understand it more for myself and the people we work with. But it changes again next week and then you go again. And I think I guess the best advice that I could give is experiment for yourself. I think, again, in terms of when I first started, I was thinking a bit of thinking of LinkedIn as like a project. And I was like, okay, I'll give myself 6 months to see how this works, like how it works as a platform, who's engaging with my content. And because in my head, I was seeing it as not the thing that I need to be amazing at forever, but just like a test to see how it goes. I think it really helped with alleviating pressure from myself of, okay, I'm not expecting it to be the best thing in the world. I'm just going to see what works, what doesn't. And I think that mindset, again, sets you up for success more because it's like, I don't need to be the most impressive person that anyone's ever seen on LinkedIn, but I'm going to test these couple of things and I'm going to try showing up. And I think that that mindset is, again, it's way more sustainable than, right, I'm going to get 100,000 followers in a week.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. It's interesting because I would never claim to be a LinkedIn expert by any stretch of the imagination. I find it quite painful quite a lot of the time. But the times when I have had posts go viral, which I've had happen a couple of times over the years, it's been where I have thought of something or observed something in my life and or my working life, immediately sat down and just got it out. And it flowed easily and it wasn't a struggle. And I didn't edit over and over again to try and create something that was better. It just came out. I posted it and then it became way more popular than I would have expected. And I think for me, that is the litmus test, is what actually feels easy. You know, like what do I, when I'm looking around at my life, I have a little bit more open mind towards the things that I'm looking at day to day, just maybe to take a moment to step back and say, what was something interesting that happened today? Or just give myself a little bit of space to note things. And then once I actually put it down, just when it happens, when it flows, it just seems
falls
so much better.
They are always the ones that just because it's like you've got to get that into the world. And I think trust your gut on that one and just don't worry about it. you know, go with it.
Yeah, both of you are dead on with that being like really, really good advice. Because again, if we go back to kind of thinking about how do you make this easy for yourself, pretty much every single piece of content that I write, I have a LinkedIn post notes app in my phone. And out of basically every conversation that we ever have, whether it's a new business meeting or a client meeting or just a conversation that we're having in the office about whether it's LinkedIn or profile building or optics, or there's something in my head that's like sparked a thought, I'll write down a sentence or think about how this compares to this thing, or these two things could link here, or a screenshot of something that I've seen on Instagram. And I have that folder constantly filling up with stuff. So whenever I do get a minute to sit down and think, okay, well, what do I want my content to look like this week? I'm not staring at a blank page. And again, like not staring at a blank page, I think is really, really key advice to not put too much pressure on yourself, and also to know that it's something that's come from an idea that you've already had, that there's a real life inspiration to it. And again, what you're saying there is you had this idea immediately and you push post, and that's always your best performing content because it's something that you actually are invested in and genuinely believe and feel like you need to share with other people. And I think it's really, really hard to sit down and look at a blank screen and be like, okay, I'm going to be a thought leader today. Like, it's impossible.
This is the moment. Yeah, this is today.
Yeah. And what about some of the other channels? I mean, we keep being told from the perspective of the podcast, at least, that we need to be on TikTok, et cetera. We're not on it. I'm not on it mostly for my own mental wellness. The last thing I feel like I need is another channel. But we are aware that that is probably where we should be posting content. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, again, it all comes back to like who you're trying to speak to and why. I think if let's say the podcast, for example, if the aim is kind of mass exposure, then TikTok, Instagram, great channels to be in. I think if the aim is specifically, let's say you're trying to get a sponsorship for the podcast or a partner for the podcast, LinkedIn is the platform, and you're speaking about different things that you would be speaking about from your own profile.
Sorry,
on TikTok,
once you're breaking up.
If you're on multiple platforms, they all kind of reinforce each other. So again, if you're thinking about like the fan journey, essentially, like you're speaking to people on LinkedIn, they might go and have a stalk of your Instagram. And if that doesn't quite match the level of your LinkedIn, then there's an impression gap. And I think you always want that impression gap to be consistent across all platforms. So if someone goes on your LinkedIn, they think, oh, okay, really interesting. They go on your TikTok and they're like, okay, I'm getting something different here that I'm not getting on my... from looking on LinkedIn, it's like positive impressions gap. And I think that multiple platforms can be a really, really valuable tool. I think especially if you're in that D2C space and your audience is also consumers as much as it is anything else, I think they're really, really valuable. And I think there's some really good people doing this at the minute. Like you've got the founders of Perfect Ted. Have you seen the new electrolyte brand Salt? They're absolutely smashing it at the minute. I think there's a lot of people in the drink space doing a really good job. You've got like your typical founders, like your Grace Beverly's, Amy Smales, and they're like D2C channels as much as they are anything else. And they use multiple platforms. And I think if you're trying to, if you have the time, I think in terms of prioritizing, I think it's really important to make a list of who you want to speak to and where they exist. Because trying to do everything, like my full-time job is to do that for other people. So to try to do it all yourself is a lot. So I think it's really prioritizing like who you need to speak to on what platform. I think you have to be willing to commit the energy and time into doing it. I think it's better to pick one, whether it's LinkedIn, TikTok, whatever it is, pick one, absolutely nail that, get the process perfect, like know that you have your content rhythm, know what you're talking about, know who you're speaking to, get that engine running, and then think about moving to a different platform. Because I think you can almost spread yourself too thin of, okay, everyone's telling me that I need to be on TikTok and Instagram and all these things, but you can't do all of those things well all at once. So I think, again, it's like prioritizing and understanding like who you need to speak to and where, and how do you do that consistently. Again, it's like the algorithms are a bit different on TikTok and Instagram because they're a bit more, they'll influence content a bit more. So if you're taking a month off TikTok, for example, the algorithm's going to de-rank your content. Whereas I think with LinkedIn, it's a bit different. So again, it's thinking about how do you show up consistently in these spaces, and who do you want to talk to?
Yeah. And we've touched on LinkedIn a lot. I just wanted to ask one question that, you know, it was perceived as the job profile, right? It's where you went to get jobs whenever it launched. It's been called the Facebook of business at times, you know, whatever we want to say about that. What do you think the next 5 years looks like for the platform?
It's a really good question. I think that, well, I'm trying to see what the next 6 months look like in terms of like AI, ChatGPT, that kind of thing. I think at the end of this year, it'll be really interesting to see whether there's more big names coming to the platform. Because I think at the minute you have this like, I want to say like LinkedIn influencer bubble of people that only exist on this one platform. And it's almost like inflating their perception of influence because you exist in this LinkedIn world, but actually that doesn't translate into TikTok or Instagram or reality. So I think it will be interesting to see whether that bubble continues or those people start to think, okay, I've nailed this platform. How do I go somewhere else now? And I think it will also be interesting to see whether there's other big names that come to the platform. Because at the minute, it doesn't feel like, if you think of, I guess, more like celebrity culture or at least like recognizable household name faces, there's not that many of those people on LinkedIn. So I think if you start to get this mass adoption and understanding that it's a really viable channel for higher profile people, I think that will change the positioning of the platform entirely. And it becomes, again, something a bit different. It becomes a lot more creator-led. But I was reading a really interesting post yesterday and I didn't get the name of the person who was writing it. But again, you have to think about how the platform makes its money. TikTok makes its money through creators. LinkedIn makes its money through software sales. So I think that it's valuable for them to get big names on the platform, but is that actually going to influence how many people pay for LinkedIn as a subscription service? Not sure yet. Yeah. So I think I'm still going to post on LinkedIn for the foreseeable future. We're definitely going to recommend it to clients. I think it's an insanely valuable tool if you're trying to target, especially B2B partnerships and key decision makers within a business. And I think that I'm going to be investing my time there significantly still. But again, it's like, how do you de-risk yourself? Like if my profile only exists on LinkedIn, if that ceases to exist, what happens then? So
yeah,
I think there's
also that thing around, you know, I'm hearing about people saying that they were referred for business through ChatGPT. And then certainly like if we're looking for guests for the podcast and we go to ask ChatGPT for suggestions there, it is pulling this information from sources that we may not fully understand what that digital footprint looks like just yet. And obviously that's going to continue to evolve. So I assume that will play a big role in how your business continues to react to the market as well.
Yeah, 100%. We had one of our clients messaged us the other day to say it. Someone had said like, oh, I need recommendations for SEO agencies that do this thing. And hers was the first agency that came up from ChatGPT. So again, it's like, you termed it perfectly there, like your digital footprint is more valuable than ever because search is going to be the thing. Search in ChatGPT specifically is going to be where people look for everything. And your presence on different digital platforms will impact that. And I think that, again, it's like people see it wrong. They see it as content, whereas really an audience is a career asset. It's not LinkedIn posts. It's reputation and people that you're speaking to and influencing. So I think that, again, it's just a bit of a, like, if I was just starting my career now, I wouldn't be making a CV. I would be thinking about how I create content on a platform. And I think that that's the shift that I think we'll start to see because it's an employer brand tool and like I guess like a personal career tool if you use it in the right way. And it's so funny because I remember sitting in school and having conversations around like, don't post anything on social media that you wouldn't want anyone to see. And that has completely done a 180 and it's gone from being something that I think the people initially shied away from in their careers because they didn't want their manager to see them on a night out on a Thursday to now actually thinking you can go into your assessment or one-to-one meeting and actually leave a positive impression on your manager from something that you've posted on TikTok. Like it's a complete rewiring if you think about it. And I think that will take a bit of time to shift, but I think smart people are already investing in their like digital career assets.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, you've got J.D. Vance, who was posting and was speaking out about how much he hated Donald Trump for years. It's all over the internet, and now he's the vice president. So clearly, those things don't quite matter in the same as they used to. So just to close, what kind of key pieces of advice would you give to a business and an individual who are looking to now start to build their profiles on LinkedIn?
I think the most important thing for me is that social media and LinkedIn specifically can be a marketing tool for your business. And I'd say a really important mindset shift is your priority list. Writing a LinkedIn post is always going to be the bottom. There's so many things that happen in a business day to day that creating a piece of content is never going to be number one. But you have to change the rewiring to think that, okay, we want to hire more people for the business. We want to get partnerships. We want the business to be acquired. We want to acquire someone. Those things are really important in terms of like the vision for the business and the business goals. Content can be a tool to make those things easier, but you just have to change the priority list in your head. And I think that it's really important to create the systems and processes to make creating content into a long-term game, and try to resist the temptation to burn out quickly, share your best ideas with the world, and then never post again. And think about it as building a career asset that you can take with you in whatever role you go into, if you're an employee, or that could be the defining thing that builds the success of your business on the reputation and network of the founder, if it's that. And I think that, yeah, I think we're in a really good spot with people starting to see it more. There's still a bit of reluctance, but my hope is that more people see it as a useful tool and less of an ick.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Claudia. That was really valuable, really interesting stuff. Where can people find you if they want to learn more? On LinkedIn,
On LinkedIn. Yeah, on LinkedIn. So interestingly, I've actually just started a new Instagram account. It's Claudia Cardinale. I've got 350 followers, so I've really had to bite my pride and start from zero. But again, I'm seeing it as like an experimentation tool. And again, from those 350 followers, I've had meetings, drinks with people, coffees with people. So for me, it's not about the number, it's about the who. So if you want to follow me there, then we'd love to chat.
Great. Perfect. It's okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.